Wilma, I'm home.
I'm dead sexy.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And I am just tickled purple about this. Tickled purple.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Jose in particular is especially excited about this.
I don't make monkeys, I just train them.
I am proud to announce Cosmic Debris. Cosmic Debris. Cosmic Debris. And I'll tell you why it's so exciting. If you love all things indie, you're going to love Cosmic Debris. Cosmic with a Z. Don't use an S. So don't even get me started on the damn acid.
All right, I'm here. Took me a few extra minutes. God, I hate Microsoft. That's all I'll say. Here we are. It is Thursday night Cosmic Debris, and you know, I'm already 8 minutes behind, but that's okay. Not just any Thursday night Cosmic Debris coming up here in just a little bit. I've got the one, the only, Mitch Laney from Nashville Nonprofits. I can't wait. We got so much catching up to do with Mitch and finding out what's going on with NNP and you know, all that stuff. So, damn Microsoft. I was freaking there for a minute. I got to admit, I was freaking out. But I know what'll cure me. All right. I'm back. I'm here. I'm right here. Little Cliff Wheeler Band. And of course, this week's number one, Holly Nicole Combs. And on the air, live, I had to hunt his ass down, actually, apparently. I got the one, the only, Mitch Laney, Nashville Nonprofits, starting up his car. You there, dude?
Yeah, I'm here.
Say
sorry,
hi.
Sorry, you're breaking up just a bit again.
All right. Say hi to everybody.
Hey, everybody. How are you? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Been a long time, dude.
It has been. It has been a long time.
So let's see. Where are we going to start? All right. So we're going to start with a little bit of the past here. So talk about how cool it was to open up the show in Atlanta for the ISO Awards.
It was very cool. You know, it was kind of a chaotic day. There was a lot of crazy stuff happening, you know, the hustle and bustle everywhere. And, you know, we all got up on closed and we're standing up there and we're like, you know, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do our regular show opener. And, you know, it's the guy who was working the curtain and we're waiting on signals and they're like, you know, are we ready to go? Yes, go. And the curtain was still closed. And so, you know, we just hit that A chord and turned our backs to the audience and let the curtain open. And it was just the coolest thing. It was so much fun. And then to look out, you know, and see an auditorium full of people and everything sounded good. And yeah, it was great. It was really fun. And I met so many cool people that weekend. You know, I can't just say Rob, Nathan, the rest of his band, Holly, Nicole. You know, it was so much fun. Julie Harper, of course, Tammany and I have been friends for a few years now. I couldn't even begin to list everybody, but it was just a riot.
And you got to meet Rick.
Yep, got to meet Rick. Sure did.
And the rest of the staff. It was a cool weekend. The way I talk about it is the awards were a lot of fun, but I think I had even more fun hooking up with folks and finally getting to shake hands and give hugs and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, it was awesome. And I got to see Rose.
And you got to, we all got to see Rose. And I don't know if you know the story, but about a week before the award show, Rose was telling us she wasn't going to be able to make it. And then we were literally on our way to the pre-party Friday night when she messages us and basically says, screw it, I'll be there. So that made our weekend complete, knowing that Rose was going to be there. And it was a great time. And you guys were the perfect way to open up that show. And I was sitting there and, you know, it sounded great. I actually snuck into your sound check. So I got a little sneak peek, but, you know, Tammy did a great job putting all that together for everybody. And between you and everybody else that performed, it was a great night. So, but you guys had a lot going on. We got an EP out and it seems like every time I turn around and look on Facebook, you guys are playing someplace else. So you must be keeping busy.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to, you know, we're writing a lot of music right now. We have about 12 songs written that are not yet recorded. We have another two or three brand new songs that we're still working out arrangements on. And I actually wrote a new one today. So, you know, we're busy and, you know, it takes us a long time to get something recorded. We want it to be right. And I don't release stuff, you know, before it's ready. And, you know, I did that. I've done that. Actually, I've done it recently and I was not happy about the results. So, you know, it does take us a while to get stuff out, but we feel good about it once it's out there. I want to step back one second. Shane Thornton, I got to meet Shane Thornton and that was really cool because I'm a big Black Cadillac Kings fan, ever since, you know, Baby Loves My Hot Rod, the first time I heard it. So that was really cool. Anyway,
we all got to play Fanboy that weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, we do have a lot going on. We're busy. We're working hard, working a lot, playing as much as we can. We're in talks with a new manager. I know some of you guys are aware, but we had signed management with a company and that was going fairly well. And due to circumstances beyond everyone's control, including his, we were not able to continue with that relationship. I took back management of National Nonprofits and I'm currently doing that. But we do have someone that's interested in managing us. And so we're talking about that and negotiating that. Just, you know, lots going on, working on a new, really cool double secret t-shirt design, for maybe a next batch of specialty National Nonprofits t-shirts. You know, a lot of cool stuff. Busy.
So I can remember standing in your living room when you were doing the managing of the group the first time around. How many hours a week are you spending right now just doing that day-to-day management shit for the band?
Well, you know, it's probably between 30 and 40 hours a week. And that's not including the creative time. So it's a lot. But, you know, it's worth it. It's totally... You know, it's cool. I like doing it.
Cool. All right. So, I mean, you guys have been totally, totally out there. I saw you guys did a show with Cliff again over the weekend, and it looks like everybody had a great time there. Are you guys finding good results from kind of extending your reach out beyond the Nashville area?
Yes. Yeah, we are. We did something really cool not too long ago in Nashville. We were guests on a radio show out of WFMU radio out of New Jersey called Someday Matinee, Give the Drummer Radio. And my very good friend Gina Bacon is the hostess of that show. And so we did a live 40-minute set on the air and an interview. That was really cool in Nashville. We Nashville Nonprofits actually doesn't play in Nashville proper all that much. We play in the surrounding areas. We'll occasionally do something at one of the clubs in Nashville, but it's not that often. But we do find that playing in North Carolina or Kentucky or Alabama or Georgia actually works real well for us. So yes, it does work for us.
Well, this next question has kind of been hitting around in my head for a while, but do you feel sometimes like you're at a disadvantage by being in Nashville?
Well, yeah. I mean, Nashville is a great city. It's a really cool place to live. And any given night, you can go find any one of two dozen really cool venues and go see amazing players and amazing songwriters. And, you know, so that's the upside, is you don't ever get bored, and there's always plenty of music to be seen or heard, and it's good music. The downside is that competition is fierce, and you might, work for months planning a show, and then everything's looking really good, and then all of a sudden Vince Gill decides that he's going to have a pop-up show at a club, you know, and it's free admission, and so, you know, there goes your crowd. It can be real fierce. We can play a show and have, you know, couple hundred people, and we play the show at the same venue the same night a couple months later, and we have six people. So it's challenging, but it's Music City.
But just to let you know, buddy, I don't care if Vince Gill's playing, I'm going to listen to Nashville Nonprofits. I'm just telling you that.
Thank you, Kaz. I appreciate that.
All right, so a dozen new songs, and we were talking a little bit off air, but beforehand, some of them, if folks have heard you live, they would know, but it sounds like there may be some new stuff in the mix that you guys are working through. As what is the word I'm looking for? I'm totally lost right now. The focus of your writing, that's what I'm looking for. Are you finding that your focus changes a little bit, or are you still kind of writing from the same place?
That's an interesting question. So for most of my life, my personal pain has been my motivator. And almost every song that I've written throughout my whole life has been some release mechanism for my personal anguish. Don't feel bad for me, though, because I've written some great songs. If I have to say so myself.
I'll say it for you. You've written some great songs.
I am finding now that I'm actually pretty happy. I went through a period of time where I didn't write at all, and I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? So I've kind of learned to write and channel other people's situations and writing for a cause in some cases. For example, Casualties off our new CD. It's about, I was actually inspired to write that. I can't even remember I can't remember the man's name, and frankly, I don't want to, and I don't think people should. But there was a gym coach up in Michigan State or somewhere, I think, that abused like 179 girls, gymnasts that were in his care. And so I was inspired to write, and then so that song is about spousal abuse and sexual abuse, and how people who perpetrate it are not even aware of the damage that they cause often. And so I'm finding that the focus of my writing is changing, and I'm able to step outside of myself and, you know, write about things that that other people are experiencing, and sometimes even fun stuff. that's really a new one for me. So yeah, I think yes, it is changing some.
Well, cool. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear the new stuff. As a matter of fact, I'll talk to Fitty, and we're just going to have to plan another Nashville trip. You know how much I hate coming to Nashville. You know.
You guys will listen to the new songs and you'll go, he's full of shit. He's just as miserable as he always was.
Well, you know, if I got to come out and slice your tires to give you inspiration, I guess I could be a bud and do that. But something tells me I don't have to. All right. So, I mean, you guys have been spending a lot of time on the road, at least from what I've seen. You know, the little home and away shows with Cliff and some of the other stuff. I haven't really had a chance to talk to you since like Texas Indie Fest. I know you guys went down and did a whole tour, went down through New Orleans and back up through. Talk about that week a little bit, because we had the opportunity here. We finally have our own Indie Fest in Colorado. Thank you very much. That Jeff's putting on up here, but talk about, you know, Texas and didn't you guys actually play in New Orleans? Did you have one gig in New Orleans, if I remember?
We did with Jamie Lynn Vessels. Yes. So we did a week long tour. We left after work on Thursday, and we drove all night down to Austin, and we played Friday night with Cooper the band. And Hannah, and that was a fantastic, fun night. It was great, right there on Sixth Avenue, I think. And then we played the Saturday night Texas Indie Fest. You know, that was also fun. I got to meet FC Westcott and a lot of really cool people. I think the Complaints played that night. But the coolest thing about that, FC is just a bona fide cool guy. And he was fantastic. He performed really well. And Jamie Lynn Vessels was also on the show with us that night. Jamie Lynn and I and her band, we've become fast friends. And they came up to Nashville to play with us not too long ago. You know, stayed at my house, had a little van trouble, got a couple of extra days vacation out of it. Those guys are top notch, great people, tons of fun. We had a great time playing at Checkpoint Charlie's in New Orleans with them. We had a day off, so we got to kind of walk around New Orleans and check out Bourbon Street. And, you know, that was fun. Then we played in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta. And that was also really great. And then we played the wrap up of the week was at a festival in Wilmington, North Carolina called CuzFest. And that also went really well. I mean, it was a really fantastic week. And the band really came together. There were some surprising things. You know, I thought that because we hadn't done a whole series of shows like that together. And so I figured it was either going to split us up or galvanize us. And it did. It galvanized us, and we became really solid. We got vocally, we were better by the end of the week, which kind of surprised me. And it was a good experience. You know, we were well received everywhere we played. And, you know, it was good. Right, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it again.
Cool. And, you know, I'm not surprised by any of that. You should be well received no matter where you go, because, you know, you guys have one of those sounds that is unique and identifiable. But it's really, really fun to experience? What did watching the different things that you've done over the years? Number one, it kind of flipped me out a little bit when you went the NMP route, but I get it, you know. And you guys put on, it's a fun show. Every time that we've seen you, it's been a fun show. You guys are amazingly consistent, no matter what you might think. And it ends up being a good time. So I'm not surprised at all that the folks in New Orleans and Atlanta and every place else kind of latched on.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
You know, I'm a lucky man. My band is exceptional. John B. Miller and Diva McQueen, they are top notch and, you know, bona fide rock and roll stars. Those guys are incredible to play with, incredibly talented. They're nice people to be around. They're fun. And I've said this since Scott, you and I played together years and years. We don't have to say how many, but a long time ago.
I'll
say this now, like what I said then. I love being the worst musician in the band because I'm continually being challenged and I'm continually having to grow. And anytime you're in a situation, I don't care whether it's business or music or sports or whatever, but if you're the worst guy, then you better step it up. And, you know, I like being the guy. I like being in a band with all the players who are, you know, better than I am. And there's no doubt that's the case now. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting myself down. But the reality is, you know, they are very, very, very talented people. And I'm fortunate to be singing in a band with them and playing with them.
Well, and I love their guitar work. I fell in love with Johnny's stuff that very first time that we caught you guys live. And then we caught the show in Murfreesboro with Viva. And he was the perfect addition to what you guys were already doing. And he does. He just fits in. It's like he was the missing piece of the puzzle for you guys.
He rocks, no doubt about it.
Oh no, you guys all rock. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. You and I are going to take a little bit of a break. You mentioned this one before. Mitch asked me off air before the show. So are you going to play some of my songs? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I probably should. So we're going to take a little break, but here's Nashville Nonprofits with Casualties. We'll be right back. Nashville Nonprofits, Casualties, and I've got the one, the only Mitch Laney, Nashville Nonprofits. And, you know, I lost the question. We got talking about something else off the air, and I totally forgot. I know where I wanted to go. So I know that you wanted to talk about the lineup a little bit, the lineup of the band.
Yeah, so we have a recent change. It was difficult, you know, but we Nashville Nonprofits says that we have a new drummer. Scott Kirk has decided to do some different stuff. And, you know, I love Scott. And Johnny loves Scott, and so does Viva. And we played, and we made a lot of music together, and it was great. And I wouldn't change a single thing. We are all friends. You know, he just wants to take a different path. And so he handled that totally excellently. And, you know, he said, I'll play with you until you find somebody to replace me. Take all the time you need. And we have made a decision, and our new drummer played his first show with us last Saturday. His name is Reggie Las Vegas, and he is Viva McQueen's brother. and it worked out really well. He's a great fit to the band. There's a few clips on Facebook, short clips, but it went extremely well, and we've had a smooth transition. Scott's going to play with us on the 20th of September, and then Reggie will be driving the engine from that point forward. So we wish Scott nothing but the best. You know, we're great friends and always will be. You know, I've made music with Scott for almost 6 years now. We've made 3 records. He's a spectacular drummer, a fantastic singer, and an even better person. So, you know, I couldn't have been more fortunate to have worked with him this time. And, you know, now we'll see what this next chapter brings. But so far, we haven't had a hiccup. So it was fun. Saturday was great. It was as rocking as ever. And so, you know, onward and upward.
All right, and you just made me think of something. And, of course, the fact that Reggie and Viva are brothers was what drew this into my head. I know you've been doing some shows as Mitch and the McQueens. Explain what Mitch and the McQueens are to you.
Well, okay, so I'll tell you how that started. I got asked to play for a benefit in Atlanta, Georgia, maybe about 8 months or so ago, 9 months. A very good old friend of mine got very ill, and he didn't have any insurance. And so I wanted to go and play the benefit. Well, I checked with Nashville nonprofits, and it was really short notice, so John wasn't able to go, and Scott wasn't able to go. And so I called Viva, and I said, man, I really want to do this to help my friend out. If I just go down there and do it acoustically, will you come and play guitar? Because, you know, I'm kind of a hack at guitar. And he was like, yeah, but, you know, Reggie might play. And so he called his brother, and he was down for doing it. And so we, like, crammed rehearsal. And we did a bunch of cover songs. We did Ramones and Chuck Berry and Johnny Cash. And, you know, of course, we did them the way we would do them. And we played the benefit show, and it was a lot of fun. And but you know, we didn't feel like, I'm like, what's going to be on the bill? How are we going to, who are you? I'm like, well, I don't really want to just go be Mitch Laney. That seems, you know, doesn't fit me to do that. So it's like, well, what are we going to call it? You got to call it something. And we decided, since Reggie and Viva were brothers, and Viva was Viva McQueen, we would be Mitch and the McQueens. And so that name sort of hung around. And then the same thing happened in Raleigh. We got asked to do a benefit for this young lady who's a Harley Davidson mechanic, and she had a horrible accident. And she needed financial assistance, and I got asked to go, but again, Nashville nonprofits couldn't go. And so Viva stepped up, and then this time, though, Reggie couldn't go. So one of my best friends in the whole world, Jeff Dennis, who played with me in my first major band called The Point, and Jeff and I played together in 2 bands over the course of about 10 years, and he said he would do it. So again, we didn't want to perform under Nashville nonprofits because, you know, it's not Nashville nonprofits. And so we used Mitch and the McQueens again, and this time it was J.D. McQueen and Viva McQueen and me. And so then after the benefit show, we got asked to come back to that venue. Well, Scott was not able to go. And so I was, again, in a situation where, you know, we're going to be short on time. So what we did was JD agreed to play another set with us. So this time it was Johnny and Viva and JD and myself. And we opened the show for ourselves. So Mitch and the Queens did a 45-minute set, and we played almost all cover songs. We played one original, but it was mostly cover songs, and it was so much fun. And then Nashville Nonprofits played a 45-minute set with Reggie playing drums, and it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. I love it when we can take the pressure off a little bit. So that's the story, Mitch and the McQueens. Don't get used to it.
The cover band gig can be fun. And you're right. It does take the pressure off because you're going to be playing somebody else's music your way, and nobody really knows what to expect. I have to admit, I chuckled a little bit over the weekend because Fitty was watching the show with you and Cliff, and she turned around and she was laughing. She said, "They're doing Johnny Cash." I was like, "Well, yeah, you know, they're a Nashville band. It's a requirement. You've got to play either Ring of Fire or Folsom Prison Blues. I mean, it's like the price of admission to any venue in Nashville." And what was funny is we had the chance to hear FC up here in Manitou Springs the day before the Indie Fest, and hell, he pulled out Johnny Cash. Or no, he didn't. I'm sorry. As we were walking back to the car, there was it's a pretty good music scene up in this little mountain town, but off to the side, I could hear Johnny Cash going on. So Mitch and the McQueens. First time I saw that, I'm like, what the hell? But I got filled in real quick. Thank God for Fitty. All right,
it's a sham.
It's an alter ego. That's the way to approach it, Mitch. It's Mitch's cover band alter ego. All right,
yeah, it was fun. It was fun for sure.
So, what do you guys got coming up here in the next couple of months?
We've got some cool stuff. We have the 20th at the Borough, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're playing with two really cool bands, Cowpunks and Cletus Robinowitz and the Peep Show Poncho. That'll be a fun night. Then let's see, our next show is October 26th in Franklin, Tennessee at the Pond. That is with Cliff Wheeler and Cletus Robinowitz and the Peep Show Poncho. And then November 23rd, back at the Borough Bar and Grill, we are playing a show for Next Gen Barbershop's Thanksgiving party. And that's open to the public. But that show, if you're ever going to make a trip to see it, you should make that one, because we are opening up for the fantastic Hillbilly Casino.
Oh shit.
And so it'll be there's an opening act, and I apologize 1,000,000% to Ross, because I can't remember the name of his band right this second. Nashville Nonprofits, and then the Hillbilly Casino. And if you guys have not seen the Hillbilly Casino, I'm telling you what, there's not a better rock and roll band anywhere.
I haven't seen
those guys. They are top notch.
I haven't seen them, but I've listened to them a bunch, and they're a lot of fun. They remind me, they've got that Black Cadillac Kings kind of energy when I listen to them.
They do, but I'm telling you what, if you haven't seen them live, you haven't seen them. Nick Roulette, their singer, has got more energy than any singer I've ever seen. And they're just so professional. They play a lot. And so they are just as tight as they can be. Rodney Crutcher, their guitar player, fantastic. Matt Arn is their drummer, and he's amazing. As a matter of fact, Matt is, you guys have a long relationship with him, but you don't know it necessarily. Matt Arn has done every piece of artwork in both of my bands for the last 6 years.
Oh wow.
So Matt painted the album cover for De Entre Los Muertos, St. Louis Drifter's first record. He created our logo for our t-shirts. He did the Trials and Tribulations album cover, and then he is responsible for the
beautiful, fine angel in National Nonprofits logo. So you guys have seen a lot of his work, even though maybe you didn't know it. But they're super cool guys, and they are one of the best rock and roll bands live that you could ever see.
And that's when?
That is November 23rd at the Borough Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Okay. Fitty, I hope you're taking notes. That's all I can say.
Man, I'm telling you what, they never disappoint. Every time I've ever seen them, they were just gangbusters.
I've been a fan for a while now. I'm out here in Colorado. I'm like the top of the mountain, and everybody.
Hey, you know what? Actually, you know what? They're playing real soon for the Pikes Peak.
For the rodeo?
That, you know, there's like a Pikes Peak auto race, auto show thing. It's like really soon. I wish I knew the date, but it's like in November, I think. So,
Fitty,
you might get your chance.
Start investigating, please. This is one of those bands that I want to hear. If you love me, start doing the research. That would be freaking awesome. And that's what I'm kind of hoping for is that we start seeing some more bands heading this way. You guys did Texas Indie Fest. We had the first Colorado Indie Fest here Labor Day weekend. That's where we got to meet FC. We got to hear Whiskey Kate again, met Emily Cole, heard some great, great music. But it's tough. Colorado Springs is a tough market to get bands coming to. So if they're going to be in El Paso County, I'm cool with that.
Did you see the Dolly Rots? I dig them. They're a cool band.
No, we didn't make the first day. We made the second day. And next year, hopefully they'll plan it for a different weekend, only because there was just so much going on in the area Labor Day weekend that I think they didn't draw the kind of crowd that they could. But the music we heard, I'm trying to remember the names. I've got the names written down.
So speaking of music, how about that debut last night? Rob Amara and Nathan Ames and John KT and the Sutler's Row song. Wow.
Yeah, it was okay. No, I spent about a half an hour today with the headphones on. I told Nathan I was going to do it. I spent about a half hour with the headphones on, taking that thing apart in my head, and oh my God! I mean, number one, I've been in love with Rob's vocals since the first time I heard him. As a matter of fact, if anybody that listens on a regular basis knows, you're going to hear Rob O'Mara at some point during my show. But he took it to someplace that I never would have expected him to go. But he so totally belongs there, and then the stuff that Nathan's able to that comes out of his head in terms of modality and chord progressions and the fact that he's, you know, an incredibly talented guitarist, it just all fit together, and I can't wait to see how this project evolves through all of you guys, because you're on the list.
I am. I'm humbled to be on the list. Let me just tell you, and I don't mind saying I'm a little intimidated. You know, so let me just say this about Rob. I met him at the ISSA show and after party. What a great guy! I mean, he is so nice and humble. And he jumped up on stage, and it just tore me up how good he was. And then, but I didn't hear anything like, you know, what I heard last night is different, not nothing less by any means. But I had no idea he could sing like that. And I just was floored. And so I heard that and I'm like, holy shit, what have I gotten myself into? And then, of course, you know, Mikkel is a, I know I didn't say that right, I don't think. But anyway, she's a vocal coach. You know, and I spend a lot of my time yelling. I'd be honest, I'm a little intimidated.
Yeah, but I've heard you doing stuff where you weren't yelling. Think back to previous projects.
That's true.
You know, so and here's
but
the
you
thing.
Know what I.
Okay.
You know, Debbie Cooper said something yesterday. She goes, you know, people die in their comfort zones. And that's absolutely correct. And the way this project is being written is not the way that I usually write. When I write a song, it usually comes sort of vomiting out melody, words, music, everything kind of all at one time. And so the way this project is being written, you know, is Nathan is writing the music, and then we are putting our vocal melodies and lyrics on that. And it's exciting because that is completely out of my comfort zone. That's not the way I usually write. So I'm looking forward to doing that. It's a challenge that I willingly accept and step up to. But then again, you know, I mean, Rob just set the bar so damn high that I'm not sure, you know, it would have been like really nice if maybe he had gotten a little cold before singing it or something. but I'm really excited about it. I can't wait to hear it. You know, Jason Welch, his voice is like thick molasses, you know, it's just, he's got so much tone in his voice. He's a really nice guy. So I know that what he does will be spectacular. Holly, you know, that goes without saying. And Nicole, it's going to be great. And the bar is really high. And so I'm a little nervous about it. But I think, you know, I feel like it'll be a lot of fun and I'll learn a lot. And, you know, even if they scratch me from the project at the end, I'll still learn a whole lot. So,
yeah, I don't see that happening, dude. That's not going to happen. And I am now really curious because Nathan and I, you know, we've talked about the project kind of offline. So I already knew the direction he was going to take with folks, which was to take them totally out of their comfort zone. And Mikkel's. It's going to be a heavy metal song, which actually I think she's going to kill it. I have no doubt about that. Now, what he's got planned for you, I don't know. What he's got planned for Jason and Cliff and I can't remember who and Holly. Well, I think I do kind of know what he's doing with Holly, which could be kind of cool. But it is really fun to watch you guys doing stuff like this and you know. I kind of admitted here about a month ago, I didn't realize how much I missed it. But it's because I'm watching, you know, you guys and Cliff and Walla Kane on stage and then all the collaborations going on and it's a whole hell of a lot different than it was when I was active in the scene in terms of how collaborations can even happen.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised that Cliff Wheeler and I haven't written a song yet. So, you know, Cliff, if you're listening, maybe we ought to think about that.
Well, I see a guest named Cliff, some you know, in the show chat, and it's the only Cliff I know that hangs out around here. So, yeah, and you know, I guess I'm kind of surprised that you guys haven't too, because. You know, I've lost count of the number of shows that you guys have done with that kind of home and away type mentality. But the two bands, you guys work so well together. Either can open for the other, and it's a great show. And the amount of guitar talent that hits the stage between the two bands just absolutely numbs my mind. Not to say that everybody else doesn't kick ass too, but between Johnny and Viva and Gary and Cliff. I mean, there's some guitar going on there. But yeah, I'd be kind of curious to, and I mean, I can be a pushy little bastard. Maybe I just need to get into Cliff's ear and go, all right, just do it with Mitch. I think that would be a ton of fun. But seeing you guys all coming together, and I think Atlanta was like the final piece of the puzzle for a lot of us in terms of, you know, we've chatted in the show chat and on Facebook and we've listened to each other's music and all of this. We finally got to sit down and just talk about life, and we found out that we've got some really, really cool people in our lives that we didn't recognize at the time. So
So this is interesting to me. So, you know, we back years ago, St. Luke's Drifters, when we had our first record out, Kim Carney scouted us on Reverb Nation, and I got this email, and this is like the first time this had happened to me. I got this email saying, "Hey, we listened to your music, and we'd really like to put it on our station." And you know, I was like, "Well, hell yeah!" And, you know, I think the first song that was, I think it was If a Frog Had Wings, yeah, might have been the first song.
It was.
And then Heart of Stone sort of took over. Heart of Stone stayed in the top 10 for ever, maybe. and I just was blown away by week after week after week. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And we won 2016 Artist of the Year, and I just could not believe that. And as a result of that, and you know, I owe Kim so much because of her, I've made so many friends, and you know, Rick is a friend, and Nathan is a friend, and Holly, and you know, Jason Welch. I mean, just Shane Thorne. I've got, there's dozens of people that I'm friends with now, and not just like kind of friends, you know, I mean, you know, really friends. I love these people. And the band has gotten better as a result because we had positive feedback. And then, you know, when we made the switch from St. Luke's Drifters to Nashville Nonprofits, you know, Kenny, my good friend, Kenny, the other guitar player, he went on to do different things, and in Nashville Nonprofits was embraced again. And it's all these people, this network of people who are not trying to tear each other down. They're trying to support each other and build each other up. You know, this is the only place I know of where artists vote for their competition in the weekly polls. And it's incredible. And, you know, it's not, you know, like I made a joke the other day that, you know, we're going to knock Black Cat Alec Kings out of the number one spot, and we're going to knock Holly out of the number one spot. And the fact is, I'm voting for them. So, you know, and they deserve number one. They all, you know, it's just an incredible group of people, and I'm very fortunate to have had Kim listen to our song and want to put it on the radio. She's been such a help to me over the years, and because of her, I've met so many other people. So you know, I owe her a big debt of gratitude. So,
well,
I don't know if she's listening or not, but if she is,
she,
you know,
is.
Thanks.
She is. And you know, and you guys were the ones that were responsible for me finding Music Mafia Radio.
That's pretty cool.
That second album came out, and you know, number one, you did a masterful job of marketing that second St. Luke's Drifters album, because as soon as it was released, I was buying a copy, and you know, Battle Wounded Knee. I mean, that was that was the thing that started me with this whole cause thing. And then you started asking for votes, and I come over and, you know, here's this crazy guy on the air and just a ton of great music. But we were talking about this off air last night. Actually, the after show, I think, lasted longer than the actual show did, because I think we were the five of us were on the phone together until well after midnight Eastern time. But you know, while it's not about us, it is about this community of artists that have gravitated towards Music Mafia Radio, and we accept our role in being the place where everybody gets played for the first time, and we're cool with that, because what we're seeing is they get played here, and all of a sudden other folks are knocking on the door going, "Hey, I heard you the other day, you're pretty good. Can you send some music?" And I mean, that's what we're here for. But, you know, Nashville Nonprofits, it was a no-brainer for us, because we already knew kind of what we were going to be getting into, and little did we know. And I'm still amazed. You guys hit number one. I'm not amazed that you hit number one. I think I'm probably amazed it took you as long as it did. But I could have sworn that you hit number one with Nights to Come. But just recently here, number one with Beautifully Broken.
Yeah, we never quite got there. And I'll be honest with you, that's the song I'm just not overjoyed with the production on. We will be re-recording that song as soon as we can. And I can't, you know, maybe that's part of it. I can't remember what I was going to say now. It must not have been that important.
That's my job to forget. That's all right, dude. That's fine. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take a little bit of a break. I already mentioned it here recently. Number one on the Music Mafia Radio Top 30. I've said this, and I'll say it, you're going to have a hard time even with a dozen new songs replacing this one in my heart, because this is my favorite Nashville Nonprofit song. Here they are with Beautifully Broken. I've got Mitch Laney on the line. We'll be back in a minute. It is my favorite NNP song, Beautifully Broken. Now, you remembered off air what you wanted to talk about. You wanted to talk about Beautifully Broken and the whole story behind releasing that.
Yeah, we recorded the song, and from the time that I wrote it, I wanted to have a bagpipe on it, and I thought that's what it needed, and I could not find someone that would do it that I could afford to pay, or, you know, I even thought, well, maybe I'll just buy one and try to learn how to play it well enough to do that. And it never worked out. And you know, I had an accordion player come in, and we actually tried some really wild stuff with the accordion. We ran the accordion through a Marshall, and it sounded really cool, but it didn't sound like I wanted it to sound. So we decided that we would just go ahead without it. And the song was basically finished. And we were literally days away from releasing it. And I just could not get the nagging feeling out of my gut that it wasn't done. It wasn't ready. And that's not the way I wanted it to sound. And so I was actually on my way to North Carolina. And I called John and I said, "John, we just can't release this yet. It's not ready to do it." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Would you please take a few minutes and try to, you know, write a guitar part and lay it over the top, just do it in GarageBand, and then let's see if we can find something that makes it work." And I'm telling you, it wasn't 5 minutes. He called me back and he said, "Check your email." And he had sent me the file. It was the first thing that he played. And when I played it back, he had put the guitar part over the top that sounds kind of Celtic and and I got chill bumps on the back of my neck, and I was like, that's it. That's what it's missing. And so we, and as the first opportunity we had, we went back in the studio. We added that part. We remixed the whole thing about 60,000 times, and finally released it as you have it, you know, here. So that's the story. So it almost got released without that part, and luckily, because let me say about that part, I believe that Johnny's guitar part makes the song. It adds so much to it that it wouldn't have been the same song without it. It just kind of laid there. And I'm again thankful to be playing in a band with him, because he makes it all, you know, better.
Well, that wall of sound that you guys are able to create with you and Johnny and Viva, it's a lot of fun to listen to, just because there's just so much going on. And again, I know that you guys, you try not to overlay a whole lot of stuff. So, I mean, it really does come across as that four-piece band sound. But there's just so much different shit going on in each one of those songs that somebody listens like me, you know, I get lost in it. And with Beautifully Broken, I think you might be right. I think it may be that guitar part that just brought it all together, because the first time I had a chance to listen to the recorded version of it, it was like, well, this is different, but it's different in a really good way. And what am I hearing? And you've told, I've heard the bagpipe story before, so it made sense. But that you guys, it's like you guys have been playing together for decades. That's how tight that sound comes across, even live. Again, you know, we've had the opportunity. Let's see, NMP, I think we've seen you now three times, if I include Atlanta. And each and every time, a little bit different, but different in a good way, and just a fun sound. And anybody in the Nashville area, this is one of those bands that you got to go see. Number one, they rock. Number two, and I think this is a credit to you, Mitch, is when you're playing shows anywhere, you've always got a bunch of class acts on the same bill with you. They're solid shows from beginning to end. So if you're in the Nashville area, or, you know, and when I say Nashville area, think like a 200-mile radius. You know, it's just a short drive away. You definitely need to check out Nashville Nonprofits. The other thing we were talking about on the air, and this has got to be, and I know it is, one of the most frustrating parts, but you guys go from being St. Luke's Drifters, Kenny goes off and does his own thing, and Nashville Nonprofits is born. Talk about what it's like trying to rebuild that damn fan base.
It was tough, man. We bounced back and forth on, you know, I was like, well, should I try to buy the name from Kenny? You know, St. Luke's Drifters was Kenny's band, and it was born out of something that he wanted to do, and he brought me on board, and I brought something to the mix that he had not had, you know, before, and so Kenny made me the band leader, and Scott came on board, and then Johnny came on board, and so I thought, well, you know, three of the four of us, can we perform? You know, we thought, well, we'll just be SLD. You know, and I thought about all these things. And, you know, finally, we just came to the conclusion that it was a different band and we needed to just take it on the chin and start over. So St. Luke's Drifters had combined probably 12,000 different fans in the social media communities between Twitter and Instagram and Reverb Nation and Bandcamp and Facebook, about 12,000 fans. And so when we wanted to get news out, it went pretty far. You know, it was pretty easy to get it out. And then all of a sudden, overnight, we had none. And, you know, we started spreading the word. And I was, you know, and I still haven't to this day gone back on the St. Luke's Drifters pages and said, you know, please go check out Nashville Nonprofits, because I just didn't feel like that was right. And so we did, started at ground zero. And I think I noticed yesterday that we broke 2,000 likes on our Facebook page. And we have about 1,000 on Instagram, something like that, and about 900 on Twitter, somewhere in the neighborhood. So we're building it back one at a time. And, you know, Julie Harper's been helping lately. She's actually boosted quite a bit our fan base. And you know, even our shows, we're gaining sometimes one fan at a time. And, you know, but it's the one thing about it I can say is that it's organic and it's genuine. And the people that are the other thing I'll say is, you know, we have like 2,000 Facebook likes on our page, but we have over 2,000 following us. And so to me, that's a great sign. I will say that with in the old days with St. Luke's Drifters, we had less people following than were actually than had actually liked the page. So I that the inverse, I think, is it's important. It's a little thing, but it's important to the band, and it's important to our psychological outlook. So yeah, it's been hard, but I think it's been a worthwhile endeavor, and I do feel like it's genuine. I feel like the people who like the pages actually like the band. So,
well, I, as one of those, I can speak. I actually like the band. Yeah. You know, so. How has the EP been received?
You know, we haven't sold a lot of them, but I can say, I think the last, this is going to sound pathetic to some of you folks that have a lot, but I think this on Spotify, I think last time I checked, we had like 25 or 30 monthly listeners. But that's up from like 4. So, you know, what is that, 800% increase or something like that? So, you know, I'll take that. We could use several thousand more. You know, Spotify, you don't really make any money on, well, we don't make any money. And St. Luke's Drifters never did either make any money from Spotify. I think we got like, you know, 17 cents or $1.10 or something like that. But it's an important tool, and for some reason people look at it, and they look at the number of people who follow it. And when I say people, I mean, you know, booking agents and clubs and managers and stuff like that. And they look at the number of monthly listeners, and they look at the number of people who follow it, and that's a gauge. And so, you know, they look at ours, and it's like, you know, 6 people. But that's up about 800%, and people are listening to it. And we sell CDs at shows, and it will be very soon that I will start actually posting some links out there where people can buy it if they want the physical CD. But we are already on Amazon and iTunes and iHeartRadio and, you know, all the usual digital outlets. I don't recall anyone listening to it and coming back to me and saying they think it is not good. So I'll take that as a vote of confidence that it's good. I know when I listen to it, I feel like it rocks. So, you know, it's being pretty well received, I think.
Good, good, good. And, you know, you talk about the Spotify thing. Mitch wants to get up to 10,000 listeners so he can have a cup of coffee at McDonald's one day.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're right. I mean, I'm trying to, I think it was Dr. Paul was mentioning one time when I had him on the air that a lot of the places that he books, that's the first place that they want stats from is Spotify to figure out if there's any financial interest from the establishment. And it sucks. Number one, I think I'll be surprised if Spotify is still around in 5 years, but that's just my own personal opinion. Cause you have to make money at some point and they're not, but, it is a great promotional tool for you guys to be able to point folks in the right direction and hopefully get them enticed enough so that they're actually hitting the buy button somewhere and putting some real money in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to buy it to listen to it on Spotify. And of course, if you're a subscriber to Amazon Unlimited, you don't have to buy it to listen to it there. But here's the interesting thing is, if I sell one CD at a show for $5, actually I think we sell them for $8, so $2 a song. If I sell one CD for $8 at a show, I will make more selling that one CD than I will make on thousands of streams. So, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of messed up right now. The industry's like the wild, wild west. Clubs don't promote anymore. They leave it up to the bands. So if we have a show, we are the ones who have to promote it. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mind promoting, but it worked a lot better when the club and the band promoted. And you know, clubs even don't have such a, they're used, the way, you know, the way things worked was you had a club that had a core following, and that following went to the club regardless of who was playing. And if a good band was playing, those few people talked about it. So then the next time that band came back, there would be a few more people there. And it didn't take long before you built a following, an actual following of people who came out to shows. And it just doesn't quite work like that, at least around here. It's not working like that. Clubs don't have that core following so much. Even some great clubs in Nashville that are a lot of fun, if you can walk in them on some nights and there's no one there, like no one. And so they're not promoting. The bands are doing all the promotion. You don't get paid. And if you do get paid, it's not very much. And so that makes it harder then for us to put money back into the band. I'll say this, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but Rick said something last night on the show about how long it takes us to put out music and, you know, that we milk each single for everything we can get out of it. And yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons is it takes money to put out music. And, you know, we just don't make that much when we play. And it's a challenge.
Well, and yeah, so, it is. It is. And that's, you know, I could go on for hours about the whole problem with venues and with streaming music and all of that. But you hit on the right point. I mean, typically, you're looking at, $1,000 a song just to be able to get it to a digital format, let alone, you know, put together enough of them to go to some kind of physical media. And then there's the additional expense on top of that.
Yeah. And then, you know, and we really would like to put out some vinyl, and that's even more expensive. So, but let me just back up and say this. I don't want to sound like, you know, Mr. Crying Your Beer guy, because I love what I'm doing and I love making music and I love playing with the guys in the band, and I would not have it any other way. I don't care if we never made a dime. I would still be doing this. And we would figure out some way to make a product available for people that want it. You know, it's so deeply ingrained in who I am that I'm a miserable SOB when I'm not doing it. So, you know, I love what I'm doing, and I don't care if there is no music industry. I'm still going to do it. I think everybody and probably most of the musicians that I know would be exactly in the same position too. We just love what we're doing.
No, it's all about the art form. It's not about the business side of it. And that's why I believe that's one of the big reasons why indie music, that wave is starting to grow, is it's not so much, I'm probably talking to 90% of the musicians. There's still that.
Do I have time to jump on a soapbox just one more second?
Oh, go for it, dude. Go for it.
I do want to say this. If people don't stop with the whole tribute band thing, in 10 years from now, there won't be any bands to tribute, because the original music has got to keep happening. And you know, it's just heart wrenching to play a show with two other, like we did this show not too long ago, and Snake Hips opened the show. They're a fantastic all original independent band. They're fantastic. Then Nashville Nonprofits played, and then Rich Mahan closed the show, and literally the only people there were like six people in the audience. But you can go, you know, down the road and an Alice Cooper tribute band or a Kiss tribute band or a Foo Fighters tribute band or whatever. And it's packed. And I get that people like that music, and I do. I appreciate it. And I'm, you know, I played in a cover band for a long time. And so I do get that, and I understand. But if something doesn't give there, there's not going to be anybody left to tribute. Because you know, Johnny sent me an article the other day, and it was true. Our rock stars are dying. And the people that we look up to and have are getting older. And, you know, they're in their 60s and 70s and 80s. They're not going to be around that much longer, and there's got to be a crop to replace them. And that's not going to happen by killing off your original artists in favor of tribute bands. So there you go. There's my soapbox. And it's not the club's fault.
No.
They book what makes money.
Right.
And so it's the people have got to start embracing original music again, or else we are going to literally be playing on street corners, because there's not going to be any place left to play.
So Fitty and I don't know, 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, went to a show up at Herman's Hideaway in Denver. Herman's Hideaway is a music institution in Denver. It's seen some of the biggest club shows that have ever happened in Denver. And we went up to hear Blue Helix. And let's see, how did it go? The first act was Indie. I was Waiting Till Three, who we love so much. I bugged them to send us music. And then it was a cover band. And then Blue Helix. And the show ended. I don't even remember who they were tributing, but it was a tribute band. And the cool thing was Blue Helix got the biggest pop of the night. Because you know, Sammy's just rocking his ass off the entire night, and it was a great set. But it's the second time that we've gone up there, and over half the bill has been these damn tribute bands. And you're right. I mean, it the '80s rock scene right now is experiencing a renaissance of sorts. For whatever reason, everybody's tuned into 80s rock, so we're getting all these tribute bands, and then you see videos of the original bands, and you're looking for the oxygen tanks because, you know, Christ, they're older than we are.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and even some of them have become tribute bands. You know, the Foreigners still touring, and there's nobody original in the band.
Foreigner, Chicago. I mean, yeah.
Kiss is going to, you won't mark my words, Kiss is going to do that in the next year. Gene and Paul are going to step off stage and there'll be two guys replace them and they'll sound exactly the same and they'll look exactly the same, but it won't be them. And, you know, it's just troubling. I don't begrudge people for doing it. I mean, they're packing houses and they're making money and it's fun. Who wouldn't want to do it? But there's got to be some kind of a shift to make room for original, original artists.
And that's why places like Music Mafia Radio are around, is so that we can hopefully start getting the word out. And one of these days, somebody will figure out how to crack that commercial radio nut and get you guys some real exposure. So I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I'm going to take a little bit of a break and then come back and kind of wrap this thing up. So I get to play my second favorite Nashville Nonprofits song. So I got Mitch Laney. We'll be back in a minute. Here's Tennessee Ground. And we're back. I'm all excited because Fitty did her job. And Fitty and I are going to get to hear Hillbilly Casino next weekend. And it's like seven. I was telling Mitch, it's like 7 miles from the house. That's. This is why he's one of my best friends in the entire world, folks, because he turns me on to cool shit like this. All right, dude, we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Number one, thanks for coming on. We don't talk nearly enough, but that's just because it's kind of the guys that we are. But it is nice to hear the sound of your voice again.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
So give folks the complete, you know how the end of a Music Mafia Radio interview goes. Give everybody the breakdown of where they can find your stuff.
So nationalnonprofits.com, Facebook, National Nonprofits. You can search National Nonprofits. It's PROPHETS, as in a seer, not a capital gain. That's the way Viva explains it. So I like that. So profit as in a seer, not a capital gain. We're on Bandcamp. We're on Amazon Unlimited. We are on Apple Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and honestly, like probably a dozen other digital music outlets. And you can always contact me directly if you want a physical CD, and I will be glad to pack one up and send it to you. We will have also T-shirts very soon. You can find us. We're easy to find as long as you spell it like a profit and not like a monetary system. Then you can find us.
Well, and that reminds me, you mentioned they can contact you if they want a physical CD. Do you realize that Fitty had that damn EP for like a week before I even knew it was out?
Well, what can I say? She's working harder to get it.
She definitely has a much better conversational relationship with the artist than I do. I'm the first one to admit that. All right, my brother. I love
you. You're a lucky fellow, Kaz, because she's really something special.
I know you're right. I'll even admit it on the air. I know you're right. All right, my brother, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. Hang out, though. We'll say goodbye off the air. And again, continued success to you guys. I do see some great things happening for you guys. I can't wait to hear your contribution to the Settlers Row project, and just know we're always thinking about you here at Music Mafia Radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here, and I love you all, too.
All right, so here's some Rob O'Mara. That was Mitch Laney. I'll be back in a few. Yeah, a lot going on. So another Thursday night in the books. I hope you guys had as much fun as I did. I always love hearing that musician's perspective on things. And Nashville Nonprofits just freaking rock to begin with. So again, Mitch, thanks so much. So much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to hear your voice again. Tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, Friday night, ISA Hour, Top 30. Next Thursday night, Cliff Wheeler, live in studio. Well, he won't be in the studio, but it'll sound like he's in the studio. Whole bunch of stuff going on. I love it. I love it. So on behalf of Rick and the rest of the staff, thank you for your support of Music Mafia Radio. But more importantly, please continue to support this great independent talent that we play here at Music Mafia Radio. You guys, you hold the keys to the kingdom. And a lot of times you don't even recognize it. So get out there, buy the music, buy the merch, go to the live shows, follow them on social media. Do whatever you can to help with more new music. Because you know, I like new music. All right, so it's Thursday. I'll see you guys Tuesday. Debut night, Tuesday. Everybody have a great weekend. Till then, see ya.